We can call the December board meeting to order. And I guess we will start off with the Pledge of Allegiance. And I did not think about getting a screenshot of the flag. Everybody ready?
Yep. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic
for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That is so hard to continue to keep up because I was hearing so many different voices. Okay. That was weird. Okay, so thank you. And who do we have as far as visitors, Ross?
We have three attendees, Mike Meyer, Nick Abel, and Wendy Kapczynski. Okay. All
right. Thank you for joining. So did everyone get a chance to look at the previous meeting minutes?
Yes.
Was there any revisions that were sent or needed?
I had one correction, and it was, I gotta find it now. You know, when people were, the new firefighters were, what do we want to call them? When they were voted in, or no, when they were,
probation?
The
probation part, or
no, when they were listed as being sworn in.
Okay.
The second one, I can't find my notes, but anyway, it was 2021 was the date on one of the second line. It's up at the top of the second page, I think, and it says 2021. Did you find it?
I see that November 2021.
Yeah.
So that needs to be
adjusted.
I don't know how to do that. Make a motion, I guess. What do we do?
So we'll just approve as amended, right?
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I would need. But okay. Was there any other revisions that anyone else noticed? I looked through it, and I was actually looking for things like that, and I missed that. Nice catch.
Okay.
Make a motion to
okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve the November meeting minutes as amended.
Second.
Dave?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
So that carried. So we move on to the chief's report.
All right. Good evening. This got sent out a little while ago. So hopefully everybody had a chance to take a look at it. We have our November and year-to-date stats across the top. We slowed down a little bit in November from the previous month, but still at a fairly good pace. We've got our top responders listed for both the month and the year up there, and also our year-to-date drills. We've got some members doing an amazing job in getting their drill credits in and sending additional reminders out to get their McNeil training in before the end of this month on the 31st so that we can be compliant with the insurance requirements, and plus they would also receive drill credit for that as well. Going down apparatus, no update on the 230. 235, the Knox box, where it holds the key in the apparatus. We installed those a couple years ago. So we had a response that we needed the key on. The system kind of locked up, would not release the key. We had to use a different one. In working with Knox box over the phone and then hooking it to a computer, we're able to reprogram that one. So that number was sent out to the members, how they can gain access to that. That was probably our biggest repair for the month. Again, the new chief's vehicle, that's delayed until early 2021 due to parts on back order. I've got a call to them to see where they sit with it. The only thing I think we may order is antennas, which comes out of radios, which we anticipated. Gear we wrapped up. The gear should be delivered here this week. Globe sent out on the 18th to our vendor Garrison down in Poughkeepsie area, and he was going to drop that off this week. So all those new 10 sets of new gear should be here this week. And then they also picked up two sets or two pairs of pants for repair as well to go out. And we've already scheduled fitting for 2021 for what we had in the budget in January. Under training, that's just kind of a reminder for everybody to turn in any certifications they have so we can get those into their personnel file. Patty Corlett completed her probationary online training. Something new, if you are in the station, you take a look in the training room. There's a new townwide district map that was free of charge, and we hung it up in there. It's a great map for use for those mutual aid calls.
Where is that located, Chief?
In the training room.
Oh, okay.
But the whole town of Glenville, and it actually outlines each fire district where their boundaries are. Some of them are a little, they're not as precise as they should be, but they're pretty close.
Okay.
We have two members starting their EMT class in January, Sean Premet and Dave Sauter. So we're looking to have two additional EMTs, which would be greatly welcomed. Under purchase request, most of these have already been purchased and are in process. The chief's vehicle, the winter hats are in. They've gone for embroidery. Polo shirts have been ordered. And I still think probably the biggest purchased that I've been the happiest about so far is these anti-fog safety glasses. I can't believe we actually found safety glasses that don't fog up when we use them. It's been amazing. And I've actually had other departments ask me about them, and so I forwarded that information to them. All the items below what has already been approved and purchased is kind of that year-end, if we have budget available, wish list that the officers would like to get. Going down that list is the gear cabinets. Again, we're trying to keep all of our gear organized and up to date. So this would replace kind of the old blue lockers, metal cabinets that are in the utility room. We took an old rolling toolbox from, I think, 2 years ago and repurposed that in the EMS room, and that has come in handy. We'd actually like to upgrade that one so it's not the old rickety one, especially with some smaller slide-out cabinets on the side. Be nice for the BLS drugs and to keep that organized. Ladder belts, those are actually belts that stay on the truck, ladder 236. So we've had some go out of date, and then we need some different sizes. They would stay right on the truck, so it was not assigned to anybody, but assigned to the truck. The 511 parkas, Ross started that when he was chief for issuing those out, and we have some new members and people that are haven't received those. That would be issuing to the members that still need those. And probably the one that probably needs the most explanation, I think, is the cricket machine. I don't know if everyone's aware what that is. It's a vinyl printer. They can hook up to your computer and print labels off of. And the thought process behind this one was all our locker tags that we have above our lockers, the accountability tags, the names on the helmets, this machine would do all that. Sue Desbian has a machine. She ran some samples for us to show that it would do what we're receiving. And in tonight's bills, as a matter of fact, there's a bill from Pendleton's for over $100 for just some of the ones we had made up recently. So discussing with the officers, we think that would probably pay for itself within the first year or two, and we would have quicker turnaround time. Right now we have to order it, go wait, and pick it up and bring it back, so we can get these things printed out quicker.
Any priority? Have you ranked these as far as, if you could pick two, which two would you pick? Do you understand what I'm after?
Yep. Okay. Yeah. I would say the ladder belts would be number one. That is PPE for the crews. And if nothing else this year, I hopefully the members and board see. I'm a big fan of making sure our people have the gear they need. And then I would probably do.
So the ladder build, number one, number two would be.
Probably the gear cabinet, just because that's helping protect our gear and keep it organized. And then we go down to the parkas and then the Cricut machine. And then probably the last is that EMS toolbox.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Scrolling down to medical, probably the newest thing on here is that new Department of Health protocol recommending eye protection on the medical responses, which really drove us to find those anti-fog safety glasses. We kind of somewhat been using them as recommended before, but it just really wasn't practical because of how they fogged up. So we added those. Something else I'll add in, just because it just developed today, was new information regarding EMS agencies, EMS responders for the COVID vaccine. You'll see some stuff coming from me probably tonight or tomorrow. Literally just before this conference call was on an EMS leadership call. They're looking to vaccinate the EMS responders this week. Appointment scheduling should be happening within the next 48 hours. And I have to come up with a plan on how we're going to get our people vaccinated if they choose so and come up with all that. So you'll see some new information coming out with regards to that.
Now, does that have anything to do with the request that we had that we be a site for the vaccines being given? Remember, Ross, I think you brought that up at the insurance meeting, Clem. I don't know if you had gotten called out at that point.
I just heard about it through that meeting. At this point, all the EMS providers are being vaccinated at hospitals.
Okay.
So, I'm not sure what the request was, if that's further down the road for the phase two or phase three of vaccinations, if that's what they were looking for. Because I believe in that phase, that's also where EMTs and paramedics have the ability to actually do the vaccination. So I don't know. Do you have anything more on that, Ross, or you're muted? Hey, Ross, you're muted. There you go.
It's screwing me up. I thought I could just hit my space bar, but so I read that same thing and I saw that it does appear that the EMS personnel are going to the hospital essentially to get vaccinated. So I don't know how it does affect that. I did today send that information to Scott Pike from that Bill Young had, or not Bill Young, Bill Van Goiter had mentioned with regard to essentially signing off liability from the county to us. What I suspect had happened is, you know, they were getting fed some information quick and saying, hey, we may need some places to do this pretty quick. What can happen? And so I don't know. I'll certainly inform everybody if I hear anything more. But I would bet that what they decided was that they're going to send the EMS personnel to the hospitals.
Right. Director Greenberg from State EMS said that all the vaccines are going to the hospitals, mainly because of the storage temperature requirements and maintaining it. So at least for phase 1A, it sounds like all phase 1, really, it's going to be at the hospitals.
Yeah. And Clem, would you be able to just send the board once you have your plan in place, just send us a copy just so we're aware of what's going on? Awesome. Thanks. Yep.
And it's probably going to be a little bit back and forth. I think it'll be the Department of Health guidance document that came out today. Then I need to find out who actually is going to want to receive the vaccine, get that information back and actually come up with a plan. Pretty much part of the plan is, as it is in the guidance document, is to have basically three waves of people. So we don't put all of our, all our eggs in one basket in that first wave. We actually divvy everybody up just so that they can monitor for any side effects. If it does affect someone like the flu vaccine, sometimes people, you know, don't feel well for a day or two afterwards. This could have the same side effects. So we don't take out all our top people all at once that don't feel well, that don't want to respond. So I have to come up with a kind of a three bucket scenario, as they call it. And each one of those groups would still only be a couple days apart from going. They're looking by the 31st, having just most of New York State EMS responders vaccinated. So, but I'll definitely share that with you. And like I said, just realize it may be a back and forth and be a little fluid. Kind of tying in with that, you mentioned the insurance, reinforced to the members that especially when we're in emergency mode, lights and sirens, that we need to pass vehicles on the left. I did have some people report to me that we had two apparatus that were responding emergency, pass vehicles on the right. That's definitely asking for an incident to occur. I added a new section to the report this month. It's the Knox box information. We seem to be getting a lot this past month, so I added that in there with the new urgent care, the new pizza works. Part of this was also driven by going through that Knox box folder in the district office and found some additional information. I found the code for 2-Trion. So that's going to get loaded up, and then also a lockbox at 45 Saratoga Drive. The other one that will get added is the new Maxson's Grill. They actually have it's not a Knox box. They didn't want to spend the $500. They said that they felt that really the little keypad key code would work for them, which I said was fine. So we'll add that into I'm responding as well. Personnel, we have one that's awaiting to be sworn in. Medical leave. I believe the only new person we have is Rick Giminelli. Sent me a message on, I believe it was December 4th or thereabouts, that he was out doing for medical. We have no background checks out and no prospective new members that I'm aware of for this month. And then kind of under Chief's comments, just kind of wrapped it up, and really is a tribute to the board as well for supporting the operations and doing all the stuff that we did this year in light of the pandemic. When we looked at, we were able to order a new medical rescue, a new chief's vehicle, replace all of our escape systems. I think we're probably the only department that issued everybody their own mass mounted regulators for the SCBA. So we're not sharing that. And we look at the new gear we purchased. It was an awesome team effort from the officers and the district and also our members. So thank you to the board for all your support in getting this personal protective gear and equipment to the members. And that's all I have, unless there's any other questions. The run totals are attached behind it.
Well, Chief, I have a question about the news report today that there's a different strain of this virus in England, and it was reported to be 75% more contagious than what we're facing now. Is there anything that that you have heard of that we need to do to protect our responders if this becomes a problem here? I don't know what it would possibly be, but I didn't know if you had gotten any information or if any agency had addressed this. I just heard it on the news last night and this morning.
And likewise, I've heard some of that as well, but it's all been from the media. No agencies, federal, state, or local, has come forward with any guidance documents on that. I would imagine that at this point, we would treat it as any other infectious disease, follow our infection control program, and we probably still will be maintaining that the same level of precautions with the N95s and the deconning. Until we get some guidance on it.
Okay, you feel that you have everything that you need.
That we know of it at this point, yeah.
Okay. And my other comment was, I wanted to thank all the members for their work for the Saturday night event. It was really neat. I took my grandkids and they loved it.
So, oh, good.
A lot of work goes into that kind of thing, and I appreciate East Glenville being a part of that.
Put a post on Facebook today. It was amazing. That started in our firehouse kitchen one night, and then Ross and Wendy took it and ran with it. So it's amazing how an idea at a firehouse kitchen table essentially comes into a townwide holiday event.
It was nice. It ran big crowd.
It was.
Yeah. But please, please pass along thank yous to everybody.
Will do.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Not at this point. Okay. All right. Any other questions for the chief? We're good. Is the president here?
He's not yet. He sent me a text that he was running. He wasn't home yet. So he will be late. So we may have to circle back around to him when he finally gets on.
Okay. All right. We will move on to the treasurer's report.
Yeah, very exciting. You've had it since Thursday. Again, the same old basic thing. One thing I have on there for the LOSAP report, that does cover 2 months, and I decided to identify some new people who are now eligible for the LOSAP in that specific page showing why our benefits were very much higher in the month of November. Had to do some catch up from one of our older members, and we have a new member that's just eligible. So our benefit payments are going to be going up now as a result of new people being eligible. I do have a bunch of budget amendments to have considered, and that's again just to be able to pay our bills tonight. One of them that's on there isn't really necessary anymore because I found out that one of our encumbrances no longer exists, but I'm going to have the budget amendment done anyway just because I've already got it written up. But on the encumbrance sheet, which shows the monies that we've approved and just haven't paid for yet, the $500 from the PS Tracks SCBA module, apparently that was given to us complimentary for this year. That will be something that may be billed prospectively going forward with our next renewal, which is in March or April. So that $500 is not going to be due any longer. So as a result of that, I wouldn't have needed to make the 207 budget amendment, but I'm going to do it anyway just because it's already written up and ready to go. Other than that, unless anyone has any questions, that's pretty much all that I have.
I just would like to mention something during this report for Ross, Beth, and Sue. And Beth, you have one more thing to sign on the table in the commissioner's room.
Okay. But
the other thing to mention is the audit report and the reconciliation reports need to be initialed by us, and they're in the boardroom as well.
Okay.
Okay. Did that help, Jeff?
Is that the voucher from Pest Eliminator? Is that the one that you sent the email out?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep, that's correct.
On the boardroom table?
Yes, it is.
Yep.
I'll sign
it. He's actually got it in a folder that says Beth.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Yes.
I'll sign it tomorrow. And then initial the other paperwork there, just like we normally do at a regular meeting.
That is correct.
Yeah, I'm going to put the payroll summary on the boardroom table tonight. I had forgotten to put that out. So Dave, you wouldn't have seen that out on the table, but I'll put the payroll summary that you sign also on the table.
Okay. And I can stop down tomorrow and sign that tomorrow night.
Okay.
Because we both signed that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So any questions for the treasurer? We'll have some questions later though, I'm sure.
Okay.
Okay. Did we get any communications?
I don't have anything.
Oh, okay.
Anything from Elaine?
No.
Okay.
No. Okay. All right, perfect. Then we get into the committee reports, and we start with buildings and grounds.
Okay, thank you. First up is the snowstorm and the issues that we had with the snow removal. I got a text message from the chief at 7 o'clock in the morning that the parking lot was snowed in, and I was ready to call East Coast, and then the chief texted me back that they had arrived, and the snow was deep, and it was had not been attended to. I have been in communication with Jay on and off throughout the day. Captain, I think it's Captain Meyer, is it not? I don't want to give you the wrong rank here, Captain Meyer was nice enough to send me some pictures of what the problem areas were, and I forwarded them to Jay, and he got back to me and said that, you know, that was unacceptable and that that would not occur again, that he has spoken to his person. And I went over the situation, which he well knows, and told him that, you know, we kind of have to be first priority because we have to get our people out in a safe way. We can't have them being put in harm's way to respond, to get to the situation. So we did have that conversation. Kevin Weber called me the next day. And as he did, I believe it was last year, we rented some equipment that he has a connection to, and he drove it. And I think Ross supervised to get the snow further back. They did push it back, I think, as far as they felt that they could. But Kevin wanted me to know that that option was available as the season went on. So I wanted to share that with the chief and with the board. And I don't ever, ever want anybody not to call or not to contact the board when there's a problem like that, because we can't do anything about it if we don't know. And I did get right on it. And I had multiple conversations with Jay and said that, you know, explaining to him, which I didn't feel I had to, but I went over it again, that this is a priority, has to be a priority with his company to take care of us. So I appreciate the chief getting me right into the mix early on, 7 a.m. chief. It was nice. It could have been five, right? It could have been five. But
yeah, yeah, it could have been earlier. I was up at three.
I know. You were good. But I certainly, that is not acceptable. And that's the bottom line that I told Jay, that that is not an acceptable situation. And I know it was an unusually horrible storm, but we still have to respond, even when it's in a horrible storm. We don't have the option to say, well, we're not sending our people out because it's a horrible storm. So we had that conversation. Hopefully it's not going to be a reoccurring situation. If it is, we're going to have to take some other steps. And that's how I left it with them. I was nice, I thought. Any questions? I think that I did drive by yesterday, and I thought the parking lot looked pretty good. I drove by yesterday when I went to get coffee. The one thing I didn't, I every time I go there, poor Ross gets an email. I didn't think that the cables were on the roof, and Ross said they were. But when I drove by today, usually when they're on, you see the outline of where the cables are, and that area of snow is melted. I don't know, Chief, if you've noticed when you, because I know your truck was there, I think Sunday when I drove by.
Yeah, I've noticed it too. It looks like we're starting to get some ice built up on the one corner.
We've had problems with those cables as long as I've sat on the board. Remember mm-hmm. when you were on the board, Chief? We had trouble with it. I don't know if Ross, I mean, do you feel that we need to call somebody and take a look at it? I don't think they're working.
Let's make sure they're on.
Yeah, well, they are on. Well, at least when I looked at them in the utility room, they were indicating that they were on, and they go on for a certain number of hours, mm-hmm. I believe. And I don't know if this is accurate, because my parents have the same thing, and they're seeing the same thing, where you're getting the icicles, because yeah. I think there's so much snow buildup that it's at this point, it's just trying to melt the snow that's above it. And because it's cold out, the snow that it's melting, dripping down, is becoming icicles before hitting the ground.
It's not showing the usual pattern. Is that because the snow is so
thick? I think it's so thick. I think it's so deep. I think the snow is so deep.
Just got to watch it?
I think we've got to watch it. I mean, the alternative is it gets, you know, we hire somebody to kind of take the snow off of that area.
Yeah.
But I think at this point it's merely just because you got to figure there's 32 inches of snow on top of it. Okay. And I think they only get so hot, it probably created a little pocket for itself underneath it. And that's what you're seeing. And then the snow that's sitting on top of it is just insulating the other snow. So, that would be my guess. If it was not working, I'm not sure we would see all the icicles, actually. Mm-hmm. I would think that
makes sense.
It would just be sitting there packed on top, but we wouldn't have the icicles. So I think that it's working if we're seeing the icicles. It's just that there's so much water, it's, you know, it's not able to kind of get through the whole thing. Again, just a big guess. I'm not a expert.
I know. I know. But we'll just keep an eye on it. We don't need anything backing up and having leaks in the roof and all that right. kind of stuff like they've had previously with water running down the walls.
Yep.
We don't want to go with that. The probably the biggest item on the agenda tonight for buildings and grounds are the HVAC systems. I forwarded all the bids to the members of the board as I got them. The one hard copy, the one JDJ sent us a hard copy, and Russ was kind enough to scan that in. So you also got that on your email. Johnson Controls was the second bid, and Eastern got back to me because they had just given us a bid for the rec or for the meeting room, not the rec room. So he did apologize for getting it back, but he did get it today. And I forwarded that email to all the board members. And then I sent you a text message to please check your email that you had gotten it, because it was like about, I was just getting out of the chiropractor when he called, must've been about 4:30. So I think everybody got it. So did you want to have a discussion of that now? Is that probably as good a time as any to take care of this?
As good a time as any.
All right. If you have your bids there and your paperwork, JDJ, which is the company that did our last big HVAC thing with the two air conditioning units, came in at $45,154. And as you see there, it's to replace AC number one and AC number four and install the new outdoor condenser. It's got the model, it's a train, which is what we have out there. Install the new water valve for the hot water, flush the existing lines, reconnect the line set, reconnect electric, ductwork, water line, start up and check. For AC number four, install new indoor air handler train with electric heater, install new outdoor condenser train, flush the existing line set, reconnect the line set, reconnect electrical, reconnect ductwork, reconnect water line, start up and check. Equipment, prevailing wages and materials are included. We're tax exempt. Not included is the ceiling grid removal, because they have to remove that grid to get into the equipment. Correct, Ross?
Correct.
And so that would be up to us to replace that. Is that how you read it?
I read it that we would have to hire somebody to essentially take down the ceiling tile grid stuff so they could access it.
So they can get at it. Okay. The second bid came from Eastern, and that was two parts. He redid the first part he gave us because he found a vendor that he felt he could get a better price from. Now, one of the differences here is that I think he is, and please, anybody that wants to correct me, feel free. I think he's replacing it with a smaller, he said he was going to go with a 7.5 ton HVAC system to replace the 7.5 ton system that we had in that room. And he also said, you know, the points he's going to do, and that would be $25,715. And then he would, the other part of the proposal is to furnish and install a new 10-ton HVAC system to replace the 12.5-ton system for the meeting room. And that was going to be $34,500. And he said, if we did both of these rooms at one time, we could deduct $1,715 because they would be renting the equipment and using it for both rooms. They wouldn't have to make like a separate visit back to the firehouse. And I think the total there, let's check my math, is $58,500.
That's what I got.
Okay. And that and obviously we would do both jobs if we were going to, I mean, whoever we use, we're going to want to get it done. Johnson Controls gave us two bids, one for doing the two rooms, and then the other one was just, Ross, you kind of dealt with them. The other one, I think, was $5,000 just to replace the thermostat, right?
Correct. The control valve.
The control valve in there. Yeah. And their bid was to do the job was $52,400, and they were not going to replace as much equipment as the other two bids were going to replace. Am I understanding that correctly?
Different. So they were not going to replace the shell. So if you imagine those HVAC systems, they're essentially they're steel shells. And then you have the condenser unit, fan units inside the shells. So they're replacing the items within the shell that actually do any of the work. What they are doing, which is not indicated on Eastern or JDJ, is replacing the piping. The Johnson Controls indicated that the new refrigerant that's used needs to go into new piping because something about the pressures are different or something of that nature. So they would be running new. And on here you see provide and it's
piping outside.
Yeah. So the provide and install new larger diameter liquid line. So they would run new liquid lines from the condensing units outside to inside the building. And they would run them essentially up that outside wall behind where those AC units are into kind of the ceiling above the meeting room. And then that would get split off to the air handler units. But they did kind of make a thing about that those, regardless of who does it, that the companies really need to replace the lines. They shouldn't be reusing the lines because the refrigerant, the new EPA, whatever it is, needs to go through a different type of line. But like Eastern indicates that they were going to reuse the same one. And JDJ doesn't, I think that, yeah, they're just reconnecting, reusing the existing ones. And I think, and also Johnson Control, they're gonna read that new electrical disconnects and stuff. So, I mean, that's not expensive items, but they would redo some of the electrical work outside as well. But I think, what I'm trying to figure out if it's 52,400 plus 5,000, or if it's from the
I think so because they don't mention changing the thermostat
in the other one, right? Yeah, so I think that's what 57,400.
Right.
And you'll see on there the exclusions was the carpentry and stuff because they were originally going to be kind of coming through the wall and then going up. But mm-hmm. after looking at it with them, we can actually just take the pipe up the wall and go in.
Because otherwise that whole wall would have had to been refurbished.
Correct.
It would be ripped apart. The wall where the guys, where the screen hangs and the flags in the meeting room, that's where they want to bring in the.
Right. But they're going to kind of go above it. So I guess the other thing is, Jeff, how do we pay for this?
I normally write a check.
We can't not cash.
We don't, I mean, obviously it's not budgeted. So we do have excess monies available to allocate towards it. But with some of these quote numbers, I mean, we don't have that much excess. Unless you want to have a lower unrestricted fund balance, which is certainly an option that's available to the board as well. We can take it out of building reserve. We can take it out of the excess carryover. We can do a combination of the two, or we can just leave it the hell alone and keep going with what we got. But I mean, the funds are available in the building reserve. We got $176,000 in the building reserve. Again, my number was around $50,000 of excess money just from the 2020 budget being underspent, and I don't say that we underspent anything on purpose. It's just the way the numbers actually came in. I got 50,000 of excess money. I got 176,000 sitting in the building reserve. Any combination of those two will work. If you go to the building reserve, we got to go through the permissive referendum process before we can award any contract. So just keep that in mind.
Can we award a contract with the monies that we have in hand and do a permissive referendum to pay for it after the fact?
You want to award the contract on a successful permissive referendum? I mean, that's a legal question. I don't know.
And what happens if you get turned down?
Yeah,
probably would, but
well, if it got turned down, using the money, if we allocate it with like our excess funds,
the money left over from this year is how much, Jeff? Again, I know you told us, but
again, it's still an estimate at this point, but it's just about 50 grand.
Okay, that's what I thought you had said. Well, let's look at these three bids. I always feel that Johnson Controls is expensive. The other bid that, the two of them are $57,400 for Johnson. Eastern has $58,500. And he said there could be some more taken off, if we did the two of them together. I don't know if he means more than the 1,715. JDJ is 45,154, plus we have to get the ceiling taken down and then, of course, put back up, correct?
That's and new pipe, apparently, though, right? And you need the new piping.
They don't have it. They're using the pipes that were there. The JDJ is using them and Eastern is using them.
Right.
Only Johnson.
And is that the right to do, though? I don't know. I that makes me a little nervous when one's saying we have to have new piping for safety purposes. I would make sure that that's true.
So we would have to find some, what would we check with, a plumber?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't
know. I would just be cautious not doing that.
But Johnson Controls always comes in so high on everything.
Yeah, but that's not the case this time, though.
Eastern
is actually higher.
Yeah, by about what, $500, something like $1,000.
Right, and I think Johnson Controls, they're replacing the condensing units as is. They aren't reducing size of condensing units or anything.
But they're leaving some of the older equipment in the ceiling. They're doing less work. As far as what's up there, he said they wouldn't touch anything up there.
No, so the guts of the system are being replaced. They are not replacing the metal shell.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you've got three bids and two of them seem to be similar and as far as what they're going to do. And then the other one is saying something completely different.
See, what I would recommend doing is I would recommend taking 100% of it out of the building reserve. And then with this excess carryover, if you wanted to pay for it some with the excess carry forward, you just simply allocate that all to the building reserve account. That's what your disposition of the excess carryover could be. But you do the whole thing out of the building reserve. You do one permissive referendum for up to whatever number, $58,000, and then chew on it for 30 days to try to figure out which vendor you want to use. And if we use JDJ, we don't spend $58,000, but we have a permissive referendum to take that much out of the building reserve. And then with the excess carryover, you can allocate some of that to the building reserve account as the simple way of getting rid of the excess money. That would be my recommendation as far as how you want to pay for it.
And that would give us the time to bring somebody in to say, hey, what are we supposed to do here?
Or even ask the other two.
Yeah, as I say, you can certainly get the confirmation on that new piping, which one of the vendors seems to think is absolutely essential. I would certainly take that to heart and make sure that that is a true statement. But again, we got to wait. We got to wait 30 days for a permissive referendum to go through the process anyway. And I would do it up to the highest amount of the bids, just in case we have to go with the highest bid for whatever reason. Doesn't mean we have to spend all of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, two out of three aren't going to have to take the ceiling down.
They're all going to have to take the ceiling down.
The ceiling comes down. That's the only way they can get at the stuff up there.
That's what I thought. Okay. Yeah. But one of them isn't including it in his bid and the others right. are.
Correct. Right.
But that's where probably some of the difference is.
Yeah. I actually like that idea, Jeff.
I'm thinking I like that too, to come if because we're not it's almost like a we're taking money out of the reserve, but if we roll the excess back into it, we're only shy a few thousand dollars right. if we spend the full amount.
Right. And or a portion. So for instance, if we decide to fund some of the chief items that he wants end of year, you know, we could say, okay, maybe we end up only rolling over 25,000 of excess back into it. But the whole point of the building reserve fund is for items like this. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, we're subsidizing it with some of the carryover money, plus we're subsidizing it with part of the building reserve funds.
Well, the other thing is, though, the 50,000 that I keep talking about is to give us the maximum allowable unrestricted fund balance. We can certainly have less than 8%. The minimum, our fund balance policy is 6% of appropriations, which if we were to use a 6% number, our excess fund balance would be $69,000. So, I mean, we do have a range of excess monies. Anywhere between roughly $50,000 and $70,000, depending on where you want to be within our fund balance policy. So, I mean, it's, again, $50,000 is assuming we wanted to have the maximum amount of unrestricted fund balance that is permitted by our policy. We don't have to have 8%. We could have 7%. We could have 6%.
But we could also have less.
6% is our minimum.
Okay.
Between 6% and 8% is what we are allowed to have as unrestricted fund balance. If we're less than 6%, I got to come up with a plan on how to get it back up to 6%. So, you know, we have a roughly $17,000 swing between the 6% and 8% right now. 50,000 is giving us the 8%. Roughly 69 is going to be the 6%. So, I mean, we still have wiggle room, and we don't have to get rid of that excess carryover until our audit is done for the year of 2020, which is normally June. Of 2021. So we have time to make a decision on that. I like to deal with it sooner versus later. And I think we're going to be dealing with it sooner versus later because of this project. But we do have options with the unrestricted excess monies. That's all.
So if I make a motion, it would be to create a permissive referendum for 58.5 from the building reserve account. Is that how that would happen?
Yeah, basically you're passing a resolution to spend up to whatever the number is out of the building reserve, subject to permissive referendum for, you know, replacement upgrade of the HVAC system, something to that effect.
Okay. So
and again, I didn't hear what the maximum one was. I heard it was 58 and change. I didn't hear the actual maximum.
$8,500.
Yeah.
Okay.
$58,500. So I like that idea. So I'll make that motion to pass a resolution subject to permissive referendum for $58,500 from the building reserve account. To upgrade the HVAC system.
I think it has to be up to.
Up to. Yeah, up to $58,500 to upgrade the HVAC system.
Okay.
I'll second that motion. We don't have to mention in that that we're going back to the other companies just to double check things, right?
No, not at all. We deal with that kind of stuff when we're awarding a contract, right?
Right.
We're just putting up to 58.5 for upgrading the HVAC system. Mm-hmm. And now we just got to figure out who we're going to do business with.
Mm-hmm. Dave?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes. The next item, last meeting we had voted on a resolution to do business with Stanley Steamer to clean the roof vent and the dryer vent, and they want to be paid when they do the job. So I told them I'd have to come back to the board. I didn't know if there was any way that that could be done. I don't know what the rules and regulations are. I didn't know if a PO would satisfy them, but I wanted to have the board discuss it and let me know what you'd like me to do.
Will they take a PO?
I didn't ask them yet. Okay. That's what I wanted to know, if that was something Jeff would say yes to. And if
I never have a problem with issuing a PO, because that ends up giving us the opportunity to get a bill so it can be properly audited before we pay it.
Okay.
We don't normally do CODs.
Right. I know that. And that's what I explained to him. Would the board like me to call him and see if a PO would satisfy the requirement?
Definitely. Yeah, I think that'd be great. Yeah.
Okay.
I do have a question though. I know as far as while I've been on the board, I can't think of a time when we've done a cash on delivery. Is there anything
We've done POs before for different things. Yeah. I can't remember right offhand which way, but we have done that with some companies.
We have? Okay.
POs, but not COD.
Not COD.
No, POs.
Yeah.
Somebody tell me what a PO is.
Purchase order.
Thank you.
Jeff, would you know if there has been something like that? I mean, the chief and some of the board members have a credit card, which would almost be sort of, paid on.
We've had to give purchase orders before when we've done business with different companies. I can't remember exactly which ones, but I do know that I was in the office when Angel had them. I don't know if it was the office chairs, but there were times when we used a purchase order.
We used a purchase order for the chief's car. We've used a purchase order for 230. Is that correct, Clem? We did that for 230. And yes. I mean, we do have contracts where we are required to pay based on certain things occurring. And so that may come in prior to a bill coming in, because we don't get a bill. We have a contract that says when the chassis comes in, we're going to pay him $43,000 for this new 230 that's coming in. Mm-hmm. And once a box is on, then we got to pay another certain amount. But that's per the contract. I don't think we've ever paid anything cash on delivery.
No.
A purchase order is just simply the government saying we're going to pay you once you've done this service, and it's basically a guarantee. A purchase order is basically a guarantee that the government is going to pay them. And I would certainly hope that they would accept that. Otherwise, I don't know how they're still in business doing business with governments. That's just how it works.
What do they say here? They're commercial resident. Well, they say they're commercial, residential, commercial. So they do business with both. Yeah. Well, I'll ask.
Yep. How much was it?
$250, Clem.
Okay. I guess the other thing that we have done in the past is where those, and I know it's not preferred, but I know the credit card sometimes comes into play with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
We've done that with like some of the internet service or the web service, things like that.
Yes.
Once it's approved, then it can go on the card that way. It's a way that kind of may appease both sides.
You want me to check with that? Board?
Yeah, I think if they take a credit card or a PO.
Okay. I will call and ask. Next item is Linstar. Sent Jeff, I think this should be your responsibility, Ross, myself, but
I'll take it. Was it in computer? You want me to take it in computers?
I think it should be in your line item.
That's fine. Whatever.
It went to Jeff and to myself, and it is a contract proposal for $240, and it's a software maintenance agreement, definitely you, Ross, for Galaxy System, which expires on the 31st of December. This makes us eligible for potential upgrades, the ability to expand our system without needing to repurchase the software licensing, and maintains the ability to keep Galaxy systems current and expandable. And I think we've discussed this before, because didn't we kind of fall behind in this and we had to pay to upgrade and everything? Yeah.
Yeah. So, we essentially paid, we paid this price. We just happened to pay it all at once when we had to upgrade it. So,
right. Yeah.
Right. With my expertise in this field of technology, I recommend that the board accept this maintenance contract proposal for $240. And with that, Ross, I'll let you comment on it.
Well, I will second your motion because it's a software license agreement that right. Essentially is going to be an annual fee. It's our security system. We need to keep it updated. I'll second that.
Dave?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
I will contact them, and they said they will forward an invoice once I contact them, so I will take care of that tomorrow. And I'll change my email to yours, Ross.
Okay.
Really, because that's kind of like your area expertise.
Got it.
That's not it. SRI fire sprinkler. And Jeff, I need some background on this. Russ and I talked about this when we got this email. This is an addendum to the fire sprinkler inspection contract. And I forwarded this same agreement to all the board members. SRI fire sprinkler. And Chief, I think I sent you this also. The LLC company in East Glenville Fire Department, we're the customer. The attached scopes of work will be added to the fire sprinkler inspection contract between the company and the customer, which was dated February 8th, 2019. And they're saying the cost to perform a five-year internal inspection is $500. And I don't know when the last time we had the five-year internal inspection.
It's been within 5 years. I don't think we're due for that yet. I would have to kill the screen and try to find it here. Let me look for that while you keep doing okay. Your thing.
And then the second sheet, Chief, you might have to jump in here. Hydrostatic testing of fire department connection piping. Temporary means of testing shall be installed after the fire department connection check valve to isolate the fire department connection piping from the system for testing. The piping from the fire department connection to the fire department check valve shall be hydrostatically tested at 150 PSIs for 2 hours. SRI is not responsible and will not be indemnified and held harmless for any and all systems of building damage caused by hydrostatic testing. Excluded cutting, patching, or painting of any kind of expiration of concealed check valves. Furnish completed inspection forms. The scope of the work is not intended to be inclusive of all NFPA-25 requirements and or frequencies. It remains the building owner's full responsibility to inspect, test, and maintain the sprinkler systems per NFPA and AHJ requirements. That's all part of the five-year inspection, I think, because Ross, I know you have that document in front of you. That's the first two pages. So they go together.
You've got one's 825, the other's 500?
Well, the other one is for, that's a separate thing that they said we have to get repaired. Yep. This is the
just the 500 one.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, 5 year. Yeah. See, it says page 1 of 2, and then down at the bottom, page 2 of 2. So these two go together.
Yep.
Now, if we're not, if we're not scheduled to have it done.
I'm showing we paid for a 5 year inspection February 20th of 2017. So I'm assuming then it was done in January of 2017 plus 5 is 22, right?
Yeah.
And so I'd have to pull the actual invoice from February 20th, 2017, because it says sprinkler system 5 year inspection, $1,250.
And that was when, Jeff, again, please?
I paid for it February 20th, 2017. So I assume we had it done in January of 2017 or very early February 2017.
Okay. So that's only going to be.
Does that show SRI as the vendor?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
The SRI think, Fire Sprinkler LLC.
Yeah. Because I think, Jeff, if I remember, that's when we found out that the water gong didn't work.
Correct.
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I didn't think it was. I thought it's been less than 5 years.
Yeah.
I remember. Well, in addition to the $1,250 for the 5 year inspection, we paid $1,346 for the repairs.
Right.
So we paid a lot of money on that day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this they're charging $500 for the 5 year internal inspection. That's
again, I'd have to pull the invoice just to see what the $1,250 represented, but that's what I have as under 5 year inspection, $1,250 bucks.
Well, I will contact them and share that information with them. The second thing, and I did ask them, this was from the last when they came in and did the regular inspection. In August, they're pleased to quote us a price of $825 to perform work on the sprinkler system as noted below at the above subject location. Shut down and drain the sprinkler system, replace the missing excrutions. Is that pronounced correctly? ESCUTCHEONS. Identify and record sprinklers in the building. Provide the list of sprinkler heads per NFPA 25, remove and replace the section of corroded pipe, restore the system to service. It includes straight time labor, material. It excludes repairs, materials outside original scope, the inspection and testing of the sprinkler system, and the covering, protection, and or mooting of equipment, furniture, room finishes, or fixtures.
Did they, when they did their inspection, did they find
something?
So they found a spot. So this is to repair that.
Yes, it is.
Got it. Okay. Yes, it is. Well, I suspect we need to repair the sprinkler system.
Yes, I asked him that. I said, is there anything that we can be grandfathered in? And he said, no.
So you would be looking for a motion on that guy so we can actually get the...
Get that repaired.
So I'll make a motion for $825 for SRI to repair our sprinkler system.
I'll second it. And I will call them and I'll initial this and send it on to them, but I will also discuss the 5 year inspection with them. The last item is.
We got to vote on that still.
Wait,
I'm sorry.
Dave?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes. Last item is the service solution that we've talked to Johnson Controls with. I want to thank Jeff for, he did this for me once before and he was kind enough to do it again. I think I forwarded that to all of you, or Ross forwarded, I think, to all of us. We were taking a look at some services that Johnson Controls gives us that we already have done with other companies. And they gave us the price that they would charge, fire alarm essential service offer, sprinkler essential service offer, kitchen hood test and inspection, extinguishers essential service, emergency exit light test and inspection. And you see there what they're going to charge and what we are currently paying other vendors to use. The reason that I originally looked into this, I thought maybe it would be easier if all these inspections were under one umbrella, as opposed to having to make appointments with different vendors to bring them in. The other side of that is, as far as I've been doing this, I'm not unhappy with any of the vendors that we have. And I think they have done okay by us. In some cases, I mean, take a look at the first one, fire alarm essential service. Johnson is $200 more than the company that we use now, which is alarm and suppression. The sprinkler essential service offer is $250. We currently pay $312 to SRI. Kitchen hood test and inspection, they're going to charge $380. We pay $370 to Tri-County. $106 for the fire extinguishers. We pay $95 for Tri-County. But that also has to do with how many fire extinguishers they are counting that they're going to inspect. They don't specify if they're the ones on the trucks and the buildings or if they're just the ones on the building. So they didn't make that clear. Emergency exit lights, test and inspection, $195. We don't have a separate bill for that. So I don't know if that's included with one of these other inspections that we get, but they would charge $195. And we, our alarm system monitoring, we pay $336 annually. Johnson did not give us a quote to that.
Okay.
And if we go in the direction of changing all this over, I would like to postpone that until we have a station admin in the office to set up all these appointments.
I'm okay with punting on this for now.
Okay. I am too.
David, anybody else feel?
Yeah.
No, I'm fine with holding off on that for a second.
Okay.
I am too. I my one comment is that when somebody is doing a good job, I don't think we go to somebody else if we're not happy, unless we're not happy with them.
Yeah. And Ross, I think you got some information from Johnson Controls on another maintenance agreement.
Correct. We were essentially shopping the HVAC maintenance that we get currently from Eastern to see what's covered, what's not covered, and if we were to use Johnson Controls, where they would be at. They came up, and everybody should have gotten a copy of it in their email. First year would be $14,649, second year $15,236, third year $15,846. Jeff was kind enough very last minute to run numbers that we have currently and even compare it a little bit. There are some slight differences between this and what we get with Eastern. However, Eastern's pricing is over $10,000 less than what Johnson Controls has for their planned service proposal. So I would punt on this as well.
For the time being, I don't think we've really had complaints about Eastern, have we?
We had trouble getting them to come to meet with us, right? For something for a little bit.
I think part of that was the COVID business.
Yeah.
We called them. That was the beginning of, we got shut down.
Yeah. We haven't had the same type of issues that we had with our prior vendor. So.
Correct. I would go along with that, Ross. Yeah.
So
that was a very nice way to put that.
Yeah. So I'm all right. You know, we'll hold on to this you know, okay. If we, I think if we find a real reason that we need to revisit it, then we've got the information. But I think right now, for the over $10,000 in savings, we stick with what we've got.
Okay. I would agree with that. And that's the end of my report.
All right. John LaBrie is here, by the way. So you wanted the president's report?
Sure. John, would you give the president's report? Is John there?
I see him up here. Oh, there he goes. Oh, I see a thumb. Oh, and there's a head.
Just trying to get the computer to agree with me. Okay, let me pull this up real quick. I apologize for being late. I got caught away from home. And I'm using two computers, so I'll be looking away from the screen to annoy you. Following our company meeting, I did send all the Board of Commissioners an email with the results of the elections. I don't know if you need me to go through what the results were again or not, but the main positions for fire chief was Clem, uncontested. First assistant, Mike Bossclair, uncontested. And then the second assistant chief, the person that I'll be recommending for the board's approval, is Nick Abel. And there were three people that were running for that position. And I don't know if that goes under new business or how that is done with the board.
I believe that's under new business.
Okay. But like I said, I won't go over the rest of the positions. Those are the main ones right there. As for the president's report, Tyler Foote has not been sworn in yet. One of the questions I've got is, and I'll ask this for detail when I get to the end of the report, is what needs to be accomplished on our end so that we're able to conduct a company meeting in person at the firehouse. Because then that way there, we could try to swear him in person. If that's not going to be done in the foreseeable future, then I'll have to make arrangements to swear him in using Zoom. We'll have to just figure out the best way to do that. Rick Giminelli is currently on medical leave due to scheduled surgery. I reached out to him when I saw the email that he was on a leave of absence. He is doing fine. He's doing well. He's just getting stir crazy due to not being able to do things. But he is doing well. Breakfast with Santa, of course, was canceled. Thank you to whoever on the board repaired the snack cabinet. I noticed that it was screwed to the wall before the meeting a couple weeks ago. So that did finally get repaired. So I told Sue that stuff could be put back in there again. On an email that came in today, I noticed that Richard Nicholas looks like he's been called back up to deploy due to the New York State COVID-19 response again. So I haven't reached out to him yet to see what that's going to detail, if he'll be in the area or completely out of the area. But just to give you guys a heads up, it looks like he'll be going on a leave of absence due to being mobilized with FEMA. And Saturday night, we did the reverse parade down in Malwick Park. We had 11 people turn out for that event, which I think was absolutely phenomenal that we had that many people that were down there. I've heard nothing but positive results from that. Clem spent a lot of time working on converting a golf cart into a choo-choo train. And I have to say, it was a huge hit with all the kids that drove by and would see it. especially as he came in from behind 231 into view of the cars. I saw many people actually put on their brakes to stop and look at him approaching. And the kids, all I could hear from the open windows was choo-choo train or look at the train. They absolutely loved it. I not to boast and be proud of East Glenville, but I got to say, we probably had the best display going with that choo-choo train circling around the engine over and over and over again. I'm pretty sure Clem still hears the generator running in his ears. Probably hasn't been able to clear that out yet. But Clem, thank you for all the work you put into that. It was a huge hit with the people that came through. A couple people even mentioned how they enjoyed doing a static display for the parade versus having our vehicle go down the road, like in the town, for a moving parade. And I did relay that to the town of Glenville, both Chris and Gina, that seemed
I think we lost you, John.
I think we lost the chief, too.
Are we?
I don't see Elaine either.
I see Elaine.
Yeah, I'm still here.
You're here? Okay. I'm still
here. Oh, Clem's back.
Clem's back. I don't see John, though. And John, if you can hear me, I'd recommend just shut your video off. That would use less bandwidth.
Ross, I'm not really looking at it, but how are we doing for extra participants? Do we have any extras that signed in for our visitors?
No, same group. Still Wendy, group. Nick, and Mike.
Okay. I was just thought about that.
I'm back. Hey, John. Just to say, you may want to just shut your video off that so you aren't using the bandwidth for your video. That may be why you keep cutting out. That way we'll hear you, but audio is less bandwidth than video.
Okay, was that what was causing the overload?
Maybe.
Okay. What was the last thing you heard me say? Because I have no idea. I kept talking when the screen went out.
Complimenting the chief on his job with the train.
Yes, that was a great job. Well done. Again, I had spoken to Chris and Gina because it seems like a lot of people preferred the static display instead of a driving parade. And I'll be asking for additional inputs from that from the people that were there, just so I know I'm relaying the proper information to the town from East Glenville on that. But a lot of people saw a huge advantage in having a static display. And the whole event was a huge success. And I did add in, Ross, that I was glad that you put to use all of the lights that we had in the closet at the firehouse. I'm still trying to fix a couple of them.
Hey, John, you know what would be most helpful is if people want to provide feedback, there's a survey available that they could complete.
Oh, like the Survey Monkey?
There's a Google survey that is linked from the Facebook page.
Oh, so, okay.
And there is a link of that on our Facebook page, so you'll see it in the holiday drive-through parade link that's on ours. So if you want to provide feedback, just fill that information out.
And who does that go to?
That goes to the correct parties that need the information.
Okay. Last month, Kevin Key had mentioned that due to the results of the election, once we know it, some of the officers would need to have their jackets on their Class A uniforms modified to add stripes. I did not see an email come from him. I didn't know if he had passed a note to be read. I did not see anything.
But so, John, just so you're aware, usually the chief will handle that at this point.
Oh, okay. All right. There, so no action needed.
They're officers. So he usually, and this is accurate in the past, the chief and the officers will coordinate getting the appropriate striping done.
Okay. And then he'll request the funds needed to cover that.
Well, we've adjusted how the uniforms are done now.
Okay. That confused me a little bit, but I figured I'd talk to Kevin about it to see the full description of that. Just to give everyone the heads up concerning the installation banquet that was canceled for this year, 2021. We are not going to try to do a delayed one or a different inspection dinner. We just decided to go ahead and cancel it and go ahead and rebook the reservation and the DJ for 2022. So right now we're planning on having that on the 8th of January in 2022, and we will not be having anything for 2021. Just so you know. And I believe the only other question I had is going to, again, pertain to how we're going to, what we would need to do to have a company meeting in person at the firehouse, because we need to recognize our scholarship recipient, Luke Willett, who normally would attend the installation banquet. We had thought about having him attend the January company meeting. That way there we could present his scholarship check to him and, you know, recognize him for being the winner of the recipient of the scholarship. But again, this is going to fall back to that first question I had, is what as a company do we need to do to meet the requirements to be able to have a meeting at the firehouse?
I think at this point we would have to wait until things are reversed with the protocols that are in place.
So we had updated guidance from Schenectady County.
Schenectady County. Because at this point, we're pretty much outside of essential district business. There's no group gatherings in the building. So it would probably, I would say that at this point, it's now December 21st. Chances are there isn't going to be much movement, you know, until after the first of the year, at least. So we can't say what January will bring, would be my best guess.
Okay. So I need to plan on a virtual company meeting for January, at least.
Yeah. At this point, that would probably be your safest bet until there's a revision made from Schenectady County.
Right. Because, again, if it's a spacing or a distance requirement, similar to what we had done over the summer, we could convert the apparatus bay into our meeting place to try to observe that part of it. But, I'll stand by in January to see what the guidance will be if it changes from then.
That would probably be your best bet, John.
Okay. All right. So I'll get back to Wayne on that so he can let Luke be aware of that. And I believe that is everything I had. Let me check here real quick. If I had any notes. Nope, that was everything I had. The only thing is I'll have a question for Chief on how to swear in the company officers, but we can handle that offline. We don't need to do that during the meeting right now. But I will ask, was the firematic officers, were they going to be sworn in?
I was going to bring that up under, actually it would be under old business, but I guess we could touch base on that now. We're going to have the traditional, non-traditional swearing in ceremony on January 1st at 10 a.m. I believe is our normal time. Is that late enough for you, Beth?
Oh, that sounds good.
Okay. All right. And the idea would be to
Clem's laughing. He tried to make it 9 o'clock one year, Clem. I remember that.
I know we did. We wanted to go skiing.
I know.
Yeah. So January 1st, the 10 a.m. It's going to be a very small, and I know we mentioned this at the last meeting, and it's no cake, Beth. I'm sorry.
No.
Unless we do Little Debbie's or something like that to keep with everything going. It would be to swear in the two commissioners, the three chiefs, and the line officers that are available on that day. And so it would be the others in it. You know, it wouldn't be family members in attendance, unfortunately, but it would be the commissioners. And Ross, I think you would probably be able to handle the photographs.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know, because we usually you had Ryan do that. You know, that was nice. That worked out good.
And if family members, I know it's family members want to watch, and a big reason for doing this actually was having family members there. In the past, we have done a Facebook Live of the swearing in, so that may be something we can do again. So people can, I could set up a tripod with a camera, and we can just broadcast it so people can watch it.
I was gonna say, that's why I was asking, because whatever means you have of, if you were gonna broadcast it, I'd like to put that out to the company so they're aware of it and can watch if they want to.
Actually, we could do that. Either and or, because it is we could do this Zoom as well. So yeah, we can do a Zoom webinar as well. But I know we have put it on our Facebook Live before.
Is this considered a special meeting?
Yes.
Yes.
Am I to be there?
Yes.
Yes. You doing anything on the first?
No.
No late partying New Year's Eve.
Is anybody going to be able to get to the sign in order to put it on the signboard?
Good question.
You'll have to do the Gazette.
We actually have to. Have we done that in the past? Did we do the Gazette last year?
No, I usually only do the signboard because it's, you know,
expensive.
Gazette is really having a problem lately.
Okay.
But it goes back to whatever you decided at your organizational meeting in January as to how you're going to advertise it.
Yeah, I think we do have to go through the Gazette because that is part of our procedure.
For the legal notice.
The only time we don't do that is when it just doesn't have enough time. You know, if it's like one of those last second emergency meeting type things, that's the only time that we just use the sign.
So let's do the Gazette.
Okay. Yeah. I have to put in a legal notice about the meetings for the year. I can include it in there if you'd like, or I can do a separate one where I advertise or tell who the new chiefs are. And then there I can include when the organizational meeting is and when the special meeting is. That would cover all of it. It's up to you. The one where I could put it in just in the announcements doesn't cost anything. Mm-hmm. It's free.
Okay.
The legal notice
for me.
Meetings has to be a legal notice, which we would have to pay for.
I don't think it was that specific in the organizational meeting as to what part of the Gazette you would advertise it in. So
no,
I think if you advertise it in the Gazette and give 72 hours notice, you've met the obligation.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I think I can put it in the notate, you know, the notes that and what's going to happen. The meetings has to be a legal notice because I have to send it certified mail return receipt to prove that I did it. But all the other, I can just put in the notes and it'll be free.
Okay, that works.
That'll work.
Mm-hmm. Now, with the since we're here, we sort of did that. But for the board members, the organizational meeting, is that typically the? Did we do that? I think the past two times has been the Wednesday before the board meeting. It was
in the first 15 days of January.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, well, here's a question because we aren't doing we aren't doing a dinner or anything afterwards.
Right.
And the organizational meeting usually takes what, a half an hour because we're essentially approving policies and that stuff. Is that something we can do that same on the first after the swearing in?
After the swearing in, we can
spend a half an hour and approve all the policies.
And appoint the chair.
What's that?
And you also have to appoint the chairperson.
Right. And appoint a chair and just get it done on that one meeting. That way we don't have to meet again until our regular meeting.
That would work for me. Would it work for the rest of the board?
Fine with me.
How about the chief and the first assistant? I know that Mike's on here.
Yep. No, that works. I mean, really, honestly, it doesn't impact us. So,
Wendy, does that work for Wendy as well?
Hold on, let me.
I'm hearing from the other room. Yes.
Okay. Good. All right. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure that the people we need were there. And because this is an essential, I find that I believe that the swearing in, especially with transitioning with you know, new people in office. And I think it definitely is deemed essential where we could do that right at the building and with our proper spacing.
And it's industry standard. We've seen other departments doing that. They're swearing in of officers and stuff too, you know, online where it's small crowds and done appropriately.
Okay.
All right. I like this idea.
I like this idea too. Do we have to broadcast the organizational meeting?
I'll do it the same time as I put in about the new chiefs and the special meeting.
And we can broadcast it,
but I don't know if it needs to be. That was my question because
I think it's a regular meeting or it's still a meeting, right?
Yeah,
it's still an open meeting. So you know what we'll do is we'll do a Zoom meeting so we can set up the webinar again so people can attend the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. And this really goes back to how this all started too. Originally the chiefs were sworn in at that organizational meeting at early on before the normal meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But we ran into a case a couple years ago where we couldn't meet right away. So then we went to that swearing ceremony on the first that had multiple benefits. So it's kind of neat. It's kind of going back to where we do it all at once again. So this actually was how it used to be done.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Okay. That worked out well. Okay. So that really didn't answer your specific question, John, but thank you.
It did. I was looking for what the plan was going to be so that if anyone in the company wanted to observe, they'd have the ability to. Mm-hmm. And it looks like you guys have a plan going forward on it. So I can wait to see when the link comes out and then I can pass that to the company so they're aware.
Okay.
And that's the company report. And if there's any questions for me.
Any questions for the president? No? Okay. Okay. So Beth, you are done with buildings and grounds, correct?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay. I know that the chief has equipment. Ross, did you have any equipment that came up?
No, just the chief has some items, but I don't have any other equipment items.
Okay. I didn't really have anything for purchasing outside of what we've been purchasing. Finance and budget, Suzanne?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't know if I had to do something on my screen.
Nope. We got you. Nope.
Okay. Finance and budget, there's no report. And then the next one is medical.
Yes.
And I just want to remind everyone that although we did our physicals in the late summer, we're going to go back to doing them in March, April, like we did before, and that in 2022. The next thing that I have is insurance. And Bill Van Border was here for a workshop like he did before. And what he ended up doing was talking about our insurance program. Jeff, did you get a bill for our policy for the next year yet?
I've gotten, I think, 90% of it. There's one element of it that I have not yet received. But yeah, for the most part, I've gotten the bill.
Oh, okay. All right. Because when he showed it to me, there were two parts, right? There's the emergency service part, and then there's the accident and health. That's the other part, correct?
That's the part I'm missing. I don't have the accident and health.
Oh, okay. That's an easy one because there's just one number. Can I give it to you now?
Sure.
Okay. The accident and health price is $1,736. Now, I don't know if we sign on for a member assistance program. We talked about that because we have EAP that we pay for each individual. So do we pay for that as well? Do we get that from them or not?
Jeff? I mean, I still have bills for EAP. I'm not sure if you're asking me that question.
Well, I kind of am. I didn't know if we went ahead and paid that for that as well as the EAP, because it doesn't really have as many parts to it, and it doesn't include families for the whole thing and that sort of thing.
And didn't he recommend that we keep the EAP because there was the ability for their firefighters to go for a personal contact, where the one that they had was only on the telephone. Do you remember that, Ross?
The other one does give you four, but he did recommend that we stay with the other because it provided, he said you need to analyze both, but he felt that the other had enough extra to maintain it.
So we don't pay for that. So,
and I remember that from last year as well, that he suggested that.
Right. So it's an extra $205 that I don't think we pay for, but Jeff, you would know that, not me. Okay. So anyway, he explained parts of the insurance program that we pay for and in detail, and we asked a lot of questions and we came to better understanding of what our program with them is. And then I gave you, I have the money for the first part, Jeff. So maybe we can later talk about whether it's the correct one. Then also on Friday, December 18th, we had a bit of a incident with one of the fire trucks. And I don't know anything about that, except that Ross called me and told me. No, I mean, no, he didn't. It was Clem that called me and told me. And so at this point, we're, as I understand it, is we're waiting to see what was discussed and what the estimate will be and then whether we're paying it ourselves or whether we're making a claim. So then the other thing that I have is the cancer reporting, which Jeff sent me the materials, and then I also had some sent to me. Angel and I had worked on this the first year, and that was when we had to have a list of interior firefighters who were at 5 year, at least had been an interior firefighter for 5 years and had their physicals and had their fit tests and qualified for this cancer program that they were starting in 2019. And so at that time, Angel and I submitted the list of people who qualified. And then last year, it was the same number. And then this year, we added one more person because Wendy Gabsinski qualified. And so she, when I sent in the roster this year, her name was added. Now, the cancer program has three parts, and we only are working with the second part. Our people are in the program because they're interior firefighters, but we don't have any who qualified because they had cancer or were already receiving benefits. So if you have cancer and you're in your fire department, then there's a listing you have to include. And then if you are receiving benefits or apply to this program to get benefits, that's the third list. So right now, all we send in is the roster of who qualified. Now, the first year, you had to be in by December 1st with the roster. And I had it in by November 28th. It wasn't easy to get it in because the parts of the system didn't really work that well. But anyway, I got it in on the 28th. And then people ask me, did I get it? You know, have you got it in? And I already had it in. And they don't, on the literature that they send you, they hadn't changed the dates. Well, they just kind of copied the thing off. And again, it was December 1st. And I guess this year, everybody had to have it in by December 31st. So I already had it in a month early. So anyway, there's 18 people who qualify. And Wendy was the new addition. I guess that's pretty much it for me. If you have any questions, I'll try to answer them.
I have just one from the commissioner workshop. Where do we stand on the COVID personnel screening so we can go back to in-person drills?
And those, Ross and Beth, you can help me with this. If you are exposed when you go to a call, then you have to quarantine. But if you end up with COVID, then your health program is through
it was workers' compensation, wasn't it?
Yes,
workers' comp. This is a different question. This is not pertaining to that. This is pertaining to the workshop we had when that letter came out from County Health and we closed the station again, we shut everything down again. One of the task items from that was that we're going to contact the insurance and Dr. Buff and find out what question or what form we need to have our members answer so we go back to in-person drills. Part of that guidance document stated that we could have in-person drills if we did a, lack of a better term, a COVID form or assessment, and we're able to wear a mask while doing in-person training.
Well, so I think when I mentioned that to Bill, he said that you would have to go through your county to get those kind of forms, that the doctor wouldn't have them. That's what he said to me.
Okay, the county's the one that told us we have to have them.
I didn't hear what you said.
That the county was the one that sent it to us.
Right. And were they not responsible for the form is that they are looking for?
No, that's why we talked about that workshop, that it was up to the authority having jurisdiction to determine what was on that questionnaire.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
So it would appear at this point, these forms are pretty standard and the questions are the CDC questions, I think, that everybody's asking. Why don't we just create essentially a Google form that could easily, so it'll at least be electronic. We could put it on the iPads or whatever, or people can self-assess. And at least then we're doing the tracking, I guess, that we're required to do as employers.
Okay. Where would you get that information? Where to set that?
So there's a CDC website that has essentially the questions that they're asking. And there aren't that many questions to it. I think it's like four questions. You know, it's, you know, have you had any of these symptoms? Have you been exposed to anybody with COVID?
Have you been out of the state?
You been out of the state, the travel? And I think there was one other question. So I think it's four questions total.
So Clem, are you thinking that each firefighter has to fill out that form?
I believe that was what was said on that form. And we discussed
that's what they were after.
The workshop. Then the question came in. You know, well, then you got paper and where does it go? Who gets it?
Yeah.
And that's where I thought we were going to have it go to medical and insurance, because it's really that's where it goes.
Instead I know, of, but he kicked that back.
Trying to come up with something.
Right. He kicked that back to us and said that you have to get the form from the county. That's, he didn't have it. Which is kind of, why didn't they just send us the form to begin with or send us a link that you could have the men and women sign, right? And then the other question.
It's kind of like the school district came up with their own form and it's on an app, and then that.
Because the other question that you had was when they were saying if you get exposed, you have to quarantine for 14 days. And I think Dave was going to write a letter to them and ask for clarification of that. Doesn't that go along with the same kind of topic?
Yes, it's certainly under the COVID, but I think there's two separate from being able to meet to do training.
And then being able.
What happens on a response.
Right.
And that's where we get into, there's varying definitions of being exposed. Just because you're in a house or treating someone that's positive doesn't mean you're exposed. You know, kind of like I've used the graphic, you know, every time we go to a fire, we don't get burned because we're wearing the right gear to protect us. On EMS, wearing the right gear to protect us, so there's no exposure. You know, it's only when there's a failure of the engineering controls or the work practice controls as outlined in our exposure control plan that there's a potential for exposure.
So do you think it would satisfy what you need to have if we contacted the county and asked them if we had those five questions from CDC available for your firefighters to fill out? Should we check with them to see if that satisfies what they're after before you can have training?
Sure. And then we just have to come up with the vehicle to how are we going to implement it. And this goes back to where we're at the workshop is, are we doing it just to do it, or are we doing it because it actually serves a purpose?
Right.
Probably doing it to do it. I don't know.
Well, we've received this information from Scott Pike, correct? Isn't that where all this information comes out of?
It was a joint from emergency management and county health.
Honestly, I'm not even sure we have to go back to county health. I think the information is there. Dave, you even have to fill it out for your work.
Yeah.
Right. It's a very common thing, I think. And I think the idea of the document is to track any potential COVID, but also it alerts the individual to pause whether or not they should be coming to that mm-hmm. training if they're experiencing those symptoms or if they need to turn around and go home.
When do the firefighters have to fill it out then? Before they go out on the call or when they get back?
I know, this is before they cut. This has nothing to do with going to a call. This only has to do with training.
So they would have to fill that out prior to the time that the chief schedules their
training. Correct.
And so now who checks that? Is that fall on the chief or one of his assistants?
Well, so we could, it's actually up to the individual. So the individual, the employee in this case, when they complete the form, if there is something on it that they check yes to, they need to not come. Mm-hmm. If they have a fever, if they are experiencing certain symptoms, if they have traveled to certain places or have been exposed.
Who texted me?
Or who have been exposed in a manner not relative to their job as an EMT or a healthcare provider, because we have PPE, et cetera. Right. They would stay home. They'd complete the form. They'd stay home. And essentially the first no that they come to says, no, you can't come to work. Or you, in our case, their work is coming to training.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know teachers fill that out before they come to work.
So what we are doing is the exact same thing that the mm-hmm. teachers are doing, that state workers are doing. And honestly, it's actually any employer. All employers have to implement this. So, if they're going to have employees on site doing like training type of work, you know, when they're from an EMT standpoint, as a first responder, when they engage in that activity, it's a little bit different. But I think it's easy enough to just either create a Google Doc or...
what are we going to do with it when they fill it out? We just keep track of it?
We just maintain that we have tracked the information. If you were to ask Dave, what is your employer doing with all of your information?
It gets put in. It's everything's online,
right?
It gets stored in a cloud,
and that is all that's happening.
Right. Chief, would that meet what you feel you need?
Oh, absolutely. I wasn't in total agreement with everything that was in that guidance letter anyway.
I know. I'll put it that way.
So I certainly think we can do that. And actually, Mike Meyer just sent me a Google Doc that they're using in another place for the school. I think we can certainly come up with this. And I guess if we're going to do this, my recommendation would be that it's not just for training, that we treat it just like the schools, that it's a daily thing in the morning. You get up and click it and go through it. That way, for the individual, it's covering them for all aspects of the day.
Okay.
You know, and I guess the only question I have is I have no way, and I don't know how the board would actually check that people have done it. I know all the members are supposed to do their gear checks every month, and we have about 9 of them that do it. So whether they're going to do this every morning or not, there's no way to verify that.
Right. So in a sense, it is an exercise in futility in some respects, right? I mean,
yes.
Right.
They're doing the rest of them could care less.
Clem, I just realized something. I'm looking here. I was just looking because when we had contacted Schenectady County, mm-hmm. Looking at this, and actually I couldn't find Keith Brown's email address, but I just used everything else that Schenectady County has, and I just used his name with a dot in between at Schenectady County, and it worked. Did you get a copy of that, the response from them?
No.
They didn't respond to you with you included in it. I just realized that. So this might I'll forward that to you.
Okay.
Let me forward that to you with the question, because that was the questions that we posed after our the workshop. Okay. And actually, the cut to the chase answer is the 7 to 10 days doesn't hold water at this point, because New York State DOH overall has not adopted that policy. So it's still 14 day quarantine. And you'll be able to read that email with the responses, which were what they were.
Okay.
Okay. I just was going back through saying, what did we have in here that if there was anything, and you are not included on that. Don't know why. So that's there.
And on what we want to do.
So, Clem, would it be if I created a Google form, put it under the EGFD secretary Google Doc account, similar to how we have like the apparatus check thing, and then you could communicate out as a daily wellness check or any time prior to essentially coming to the station. Is that okay?
Sure, that'll work. And I'll send you what Mike Meyer sent to me. So there's some real good boilerplate stuff in there.
Yeah.
As long as the board realizes, as the AHJ, that you may not get total compliance, that there's no way to police that, and it's
no way to check it.
Right.
Well, we can check the log, but it is on the employee. Right. It is on the employee to make sure that they are completing the information and being accurate about it.
Right.
But I'll just add, we could make it mandatory before drills. Right? People have to show up at drills, and they'll have to fill in the form before a drill.
Yeah. I mean, ideally, you want somebody to fill that out before they come to the station, because if they're experiencing any of the symptoms, you don't want them at the station.
Yeah, and Mike, I guess this is an offline discussion for us and you with me. How are you going to enforce that before a drill standard? Watch them fill out the form.
Well, they would have to do it before they came to the station, so you aren't even going to see them do it.
Right. So we just make it a requirement for a daily morning check, just like you do with everything else. It's all encompassing.
We could also set it up so you guys can see that spreadsheet that it creates.
Right.
Right. So either way, it would have to be done. If you're going to go to drill, you have to have that form done. Right.
In addition to everything else. Yes.
Right.
Because we only have 30 or how many drills a year, but how many calls do we go on? So that's why I think it's better if we're going to do it, it's an all encompassing, not just for training.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll send this stuff over to you, Ross.
Okay. I'll create the form and work with you on getting everybody access and stuff.
Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah. That would. It's no different than anybody else going to their job at this point.
Right. And I guess the other little caveat I'll throw in here, since the vaccine is being rolled out this week as well, that does not preclude any of these other requirements.
That does not. No.
And we'll make that clear as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think it would be good to state on this survey, or whatever we're going to call it, questionnaire, that where this prerequisite came from. You know that. You know what I mean? That you it's not because you think it's important. It's because we think it's important, but this is the way we're putting it into place.
Right. Upon the recommendation of the county public health.
Right.
Requirement.
Right. Yeah. We'll
put a little blurb in there that covers why it's there, what it covers. In addition, you know, that if you do get the vaccine, that it does not prevent, you know, circumvent any of this stuff, you still have to do it.
Right.
So I guess the I'll parlay that on, is back to John's question. How does that affect any of the other things outside of training?
Well, I think the firehouse is still shut down for any kind of group encounters, right? I mean, that's the way the county told us. I don't think this disclaimer would change that.
Okay.
That's my, how I see it. Anybody else?
Yeah, I don't think that they should be, that there's going to be any reason to be in the firehouse in a group unless you have a call.
Oh, so your question is whether or not we're doing in-person training.
Well, it starts with training. That's what was addressed at Schenectady County. The natural question then is if we can get 20 people together in the firehouse for training, if we do this forum and do precautions, why couldn't we do a company meeting, the swearing in, things of that nature?
I think the idea is that training is essential and the company meeting is non-essential.
Number, yeah, because under their directive, number six, under station use, it says all company or business meetings should be conducted virtually. Any meeting which is large poses the potential of quarantining an entire agency for days, if not weeks. It's black and white under use of station, the first, their first line there. And then with the training, we know that, you know, live fire training and fire EMS skills training is essential. You know, number one, and take each member's temperature, have them fill out the questionnaire. They should do this prior to a member being allowed to participate in any training. If the member's temperature is above 100.8 or has symptoms of any kind, he or she shall not participate. They should also then be directed to follow up with their primary care physician. All classroom training should be conducted virtually. You know, that's when conducting hands-on training, all members should be masked, if not wearing an SCBA, and on air. Social distancing is not a reasonable alternative. And then, of course, clean and sanitize all equipment.
Right.
So, but as far as the company meeting per se, it says all company or business meetings should be what we're doing right now, should be conducted virtually. And until this is revised, this is what we have to work with. But at least in it, and really with the training, as long as you're doing the temperature check, it says, and they're filling out the questionnaire and the information in is as good as the information you get out of it, then it should not be be an issue. Your only issue with drills would be somebody standing there to do the temperature check for everyone coming in after they fill out the questionnaire.
Well, I guess that's why I went back to that all encompassing, and it leads into my next question. If you do the daily survey in the morning, is it my understanding you want a second set done before a drill?
I'm just reading what's here. I wouldn't think that if you filled it out and you felt okay and nothing's changed, a questionnaire is a questionnaire. Because I can tell you, if you go to, for instance, if I'm going into the building where I am at the retirement system, you fill out one questionnaire. If you leave the building to go out to lunch, you do have to have a temperature check coming back in, but you're not filling out a new questionnaire, if that answers the question. But each time you enter the building, they do make you do the temperature check.
So is that something that we're looking to do as well?
See, I'm thinking with the drill, I'm just thinking out loud here. I'm thinking, if I'm going over to sign, you know, to fill out paperwork for, you know, with the commissioners, or if I'm doing that, I'm the only one in the building. I would have to, because I don't, you know, like I don't have a thermometer in my truck. I could fill out the questionnaire, but I I would actually have to physically go in the building to do the temperature check on myself, I guess. You know, how are we going to make this work for the one-offs?
Yeah. Drills. Well, not only the one-offs, but the group too. That's why I'm asking, is that something that the board wants?
Well,
because the purpose of doing it is to determine if you're ill. So it's right, regardless whether it's one or that's why I don't think you can do just one, or if it's only in a group. I think the board has to decide how they want to deal with it holistically. Mm-hmm. And then move forward with that, because that's going to require thermometers and supplies and things like that. That
supplies that you're going to be going burning through the.
How expensive are those the thermometers that just they're like an inch or two away from your head?
Yeah, and we have those on the trucks. We don't have those available in the stations. We'd have to order those. I don't know, off the top of my head, no pun intended, I don't know what the order time
that's
is.
That's funny. Very good.
To get those in.
If you can get them, they're in short supply like everything else, Clem.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. There's, if we say that, they just realize there's the logistics side of it, of putting that into place.
Oh, sure.
I'm not for or against, just saying with things to think about.
Yeah, I'm not really sure, because this, you know, as I'm going back through, and I'm sure you've read this multiple times. I read it multiple times when we first got it too. It pretty much is clear about, you know, in-person training, but it's not giving us direction. It's just saying, you know, like with the direct, that's part of you, probably what you have questions about with this form, or with this, you know, with the list they gave us. It's pretty much just saying, you know, all non-fire EMS personnel should work remotely except for cleaning staff. So theoretically, outside of, you know, like if I'm looking at number four that's in their thing, no one else should be going in the building with the way they're saying this, outside of an emergency response, restocking the shelves, or going for skills training in person. And they're the ones that are filling out the questionnaire and getting their temperature checked.
Right. And that's what I said. That's why I don't necessarily agree with everything in that document, because we know it's our business, that there's a lot more that happens to make the big machine run than those just couple items.
Yeah.
So maybe a suggestion I could offer is we do the form daily check. We can order some of those non-contact thermometers. Once they arrive, the board can look to implement the temperature checks upon entering the building.
Right.
Is that something that maybe phased it in, that doesn't hold us back from moving forward?
Yeah, that would.
And Ross and I saw some awesome thermometers that the school has.
Yeah. It's like a, they are neat.
It's like trying to check into TSA when you get there.
Oh, that's what we have going into our building. You mean the ones that are on the freestanding ones, and you type in your information and
So must be on state contract then.
Probably.
I don't know. We're a quasi-state agency.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm saying if the schools have them.
Mm-hmm. And we have
an retirement system.
One time, so that they must be pretty efficient to be able to do it quickly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I guess we should look at that. See what we expect.
I mean, how? I think the questionnaire, we should probably all be filling that out when we're entering the building. I have to agree with that after rereading this again. But as far as the temperature checks, how hard would it be for you as a chief or as the company officers? I'm just looking at the training list, you know, to be able to check that off. Is that something where you could grab, you got to get somebody in the building. Somebody could grab one of the existing ones, the thermometers, to be able to do the check as people are coming through the door.
I would just have it be a self-check.
A self-check?
Yeah.
Yeah. And as long, you know, as long as everybody knows how to use it, I mean, it's just push a button. Right. Really.
I would hope so.
Yeah. It's no, I'm not.
I don't know about that, Clem.
I'm just, but if you did a self-check and, you know, what do you do? Do you, if they're filling out the questionnaire online, then where do you note what their temperature is? Do we have to? It doesn't say that it has to be recorded in this, so I wouldn't want to go, we wouldn't have to go above and beyond if we didn't.
When you go to the doctor's office, they just check you, and that's your ticket in. They ask you those same questions that you guys are talking about, and then they take your temperature.
You're just looking for a number. If you're above the number, you don't
go
in.
Then you go away.
Yeah.
And I'm on a committee on a national, actually international, working with some toxicologists on this as well. And we purposely did not have the temperature written down on any form, just because you're getting into diagnostic information on a person and we're getting close to some
violations.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's a yes or a no. And it's just, are they, can they come to work or can't they come to work?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that would be, just to get one of those for the, you know, like if, I guess it would be to get a thermometer for both of the entry doors, whether the main hall or the bay door coming in. And we wouldn't, this is only for training. You wouldn't want to slow down emergency operations for this.
Correct.
It does not say anything. It does not say anything about that. This is just outside of emergency operations.
Right.
So I'll work with Ross on the Google form. We'll get those and I'll look at the, where we can, from our vendors, from getting the additional thermometers.
I don't know how much those cost. I don't think they're overly expensive. I think they're just in high demand.
Right.
But
since this is part of the building, this really should come out of Buildings and Grounds.
I was thinking technology, you know, because it's the new the new updated kind, you know, not the kind you kids got when you were little. You know what I'm saying? I was wondering if Hilliard would have them because they had that baby changing tray that we got in the bathroom. They might, and that's state contract.
Sure, if you can check with them, I'll check with our vendors.
I will check. Yep.
Okay.
I'll let you know, Clem.
Okay. So I think where we're at with this is that I'll get with Ross. We'll get the Google form generated. We're actually really at a good part of the year to try and work this out because we're at the end of fourth quarter anyway. We've only got, two more weeks, we'd have two more drills, and really people need to focus on getting their McNeil training done, which is online. So this is probably a good time to work all this out and have it ready for the new year.
Okay.
And Clem, you're going to have this done by the end of the meeting.
Okay. Want me to send you the question? Or did Mike already send
it? I've got them because I did this for the parade. So I had the form already.
I didn't do it for the parade.
You were supposed to. Who was in that?
That's because you were in the train. That's why.
Never got it.
It was in the email that Jill was supposed to send out.
I never got an email from Jill.
The train conductor got a pass.
That's right. I was by myself. I was isolated.
You should blame the one of the co-chairs of the committee who's in the other room.
I'm not doing that.
Okay. I guess that was
a great discussion. Thank you. I think that will help.
I have a question for insurance.
Yeah.
Are we then not paying the EAP portion through McNeil? I just want to make sure I understand that we're not paying for EAP through McNeil.
Have we been doing that?
EAP is separate, is it not? It's a separate company.
I pulled last year's invoice for the accident and health. One line was EAP for the $200, and the other one was the renewal for $1,740. The number Suzanne just gave me for accident and health was $1,736. So I'm assuming that the EAP portion of our commercial or whatever insurance through McNeil has now been dropped. We're going to pay EAP through our other vendor, and we're not going to have it through McNeil. I just want to make sure I understand that for when I actually get the invoice.
I will check on that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought we were running with both because there was a, in case of, there was a little extra coverage, or I thought that's what we had done last. We had ran with both. There was a reason. I can't remember back to last year about that.
The reason we're going with both is because the EAP has more direct opportunities for the responders to meet council.
Okay, that's fine. Just the number that Suzanne gave me, the 1,736, I don't believe includes the EAP portion. No. I think there's going to be another $200 on top of the number she gave me.
Yes.
Just looking at last invoice.
I'll check it.
So, okay. And that's fine. I just wanted to make sure I understood whether we were keeping it in both places or just having the one. Okay.
Oh, Suzanne's going to double check.
Glenn?
Yes.
This is totally different, but for insurance wise, and through Jeff Briggs, I need to have you tell me what the weight of the new vehicle we just put insurance on, what the weight is.
Okay, I'll find out. I don't know offhand. I don't have any documents on, but I'll find out.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
You can just text me with it. Okay.
Let me see if I have it. Hang on.
Okay.
You can keep going while I look.
Okay. Was there anything else for legal insurance?
Not for me, no.
Okay.
I've got just one thing going back on buildings and grounds once you're...
Okay.
The CO detection system was completed by John over the past month. So that is in, and actually he added, John, do you want to explain what the lighting system was? I don't know if he's listening anymore. Oh, there he is.
Okay. Yes. I know you guys were very patient because there was a little delay in finishing the system. So with no extra charge, I included a small light tree above the control panel. The light tree has three signals on it: green, amber, and red. Right now the green light is lit, and on the green itself it says norm, NORM, which is normal conditions. As long as that green light is on, it tells you that the system is up and running. Should that green light go off and that tree be completely dark, someone needs to look at the system, because that should never go off unless it's not sensing. If it does detect that the level of CO or NO2 is increasing in the garage or in the apparatus bay, then it will turn off the green and turn on the yellow, which will then also turn on the evacuation fans, which is a warning level. It's trying to tell you that levels are increasing. Turning on the fans is trying to basically exchange the air so as to cause the levels to go down. But it's going to go yellow so that you're aware that something is going wrong because levels are going up. If the levels continue to go up, then it will actually turn on, in addition to the yellow, the red light at the very top, which is evacuate. And when evacuate turns on, it will also start beeping. And that tells you at that point, anyone in the apparatus bay needs to get out, because the levels are increasing. Even though the exhaust fans are on, it's not exchanging enough air, and you need to get out of the bay to figure out, you know, open up the doors safely from the radio room.
Awesome. Thanks, John. So that is finally done. Thank you.
The only thing I owe you
works well.
Yes. the golf cart tested the system. But what I do owe you still is a binder. And I'm not sure when we can go back to having meetings in person, I can then present the binder to you and explain all the information that's in there. And it will actually have all the gas levels and the breakdowns of the thresholds for each of those, normal, warning, and evacuation. And then I also showed the standard NIOSH levels, just so you're aware of why those numbers are picked.
Super, thank you.
Any other questions on that?
No. Right. Just a quick question for you, Clem. On the form, do you want a drop down of names or do you want somebody to type in their name?
Well, based on the number of letters in my last name, I'm going to say drop down.
Okay.
All right. Ross, anything for communication or computer and communications?
No, we did the Linstar, so that is good. The rest of the system seems to be operating well. Elaine, I assume your notebook hasn't blown up at your house yet.
You haven't gotten a call.
So that's good. And any new computers or stuff will obviously be on next year at this point.
2021. Yeah. Okay. Personnel. That would be Beth.
We're going to go into executive session.
Session. Yeah. For personnel. Okay.
Yes.
Now with policies, the one thing that I wanted to do, Ross, before our organizational meeting is just get that one last one that we needed to be done, to at least have a plan, because it doesn't have to be done until April 1st, but it may be better. It was the governor signed the legislation requiring all public employers to create plans to protect employees and contractors in the event of another epidemic or pandemic or public health emergency. So we would need, you know,
that would be that. You and I need to kind of get together and
on a few of those, and we can do that some week. Hell, I can do it on Christmas. There's nothing I'm doing.
I may not be able to do it on Christmas.
The only thing I'm doing is eating Chinese at some point. That's the extent of what we have going on. So we have policies. Apparatus outside of what was in the chief's report.
Is accident review board a separate committee or is that apparatus?
Yes, it is. Yep.
Okay.
We're not quite there yet. Okay. We can skip use of station because we have none at this point, right, Beth?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Payroll, you signed those, so we're good.
Yes, I did.
I'll sign the rest of it tomorrow night. And then Ross, this is where you get to accident review board.
All right. So all the board members should have received an email today with a report. Although I know it was probably right before the meeting or maybe during the meeting, as I was remembering.
Was it before?
All right, good. So you can read the report there. We did have an incident with engine 235 on the 18th, and you will see the it also included all of the backup to that incident. Sue indicated what the damage was, you know, that we did have a damage to the glass on the mirror on 235. So I believe Clem is making contact to get a cost estimate just for that glass. The metal part of the mirror, really wasn't even any damage to that, to the cosmetic or otherwise damage to the metal part of that mirror. I think it just flipped it around enough to break the glass on the mirror. But you'll see the individuals involved and the recommendations. So as you read through that, I guess, does anybody have any questions or disagree with the findings for recommendations?
No.
No. Thank you for taking care of that.
All right. So we will proceed with the recommendations from the accident review board on there.
Yes, perfect. Thank you. Yep. Okay, and we don't really have anything for the LOSAP audit committee. Legislative, anything, Suzanne? Not that I can think of that's came up. The one thing, just it sort of falls under this, the commissioner's class, I noticed that they do have one posted for Clifton Park in March. And I don't know how we can do this because I was going to bring this up. Well, I'll bring it up in new business, I guess, because I wanted to make sure that any of the chiefs or the rest, you know, the treasurer or the secretary, if they want to go to that class, that everybody that is new or should be going gets to go. And we may have to do it online, depends on what happens. So consolidation, anything there, Suzanne?
Did you lose Suzanne?
What?
Oh, there she is.
There she is.
I said no.
No, okay, all right. All right, so that's the end of the committee report. So right now would just be the old unfinished business. Sort of, we already covered the swearing in on the January 1st that I had listed underneath there. Did anyone have anything else that we didn't finish after last month or we are looking into?
I just want to tell Beth, pull the old SRI invoice for the five-year inspection. I don't know if you want me to put a copy of that in your mailbox.
That'd be great because I'll be in tomorrow.
Okay, thank I'll make Jeff. A copy of it in the mailbox.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, new business. That's where we do a lot of things, but did any have anybody anything that we haven't discussed yet? Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, so we the once we're done with the different various things, then we'll also approve the treasurer's report. But what I have to start with is the budget amendment resolutions. And I'm going to go through this quick and I'm going to do them. No, they're different accounts. I'm looking. I can't lump anything. Okay. So here we go. I need a motion for resolution to amend the 2020 budget. Increase 3410200 purchase trucks and equipment subaccount 204 EMS supplies by $651. Decrease 3410200 purchase trucks and equipment subaccount 203 protective clothing by $651. This is to provide funding for the Ever-Dixie COVID EMS supply order. So I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Dave?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes.
Okay. Now, next motion for resolution for the budget, 2020 budget, increase 3410200 purchase trucks and equipment, subaccount 207 rescue equipment by $280, and decrease 3410200 purchase trucks and equipment, subaccount 205 extinguishers and powder by the $280. This is to provide funding for the Argus thermal tick battery. Let's do it that way. Anyone want to make that motion?
So still moved.
Oh, okay.
Second.
Dave?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes.
Okay. Increase 3410, 420, truck repairs, subaccount 422, truck repairs by $61. Decrease 3410, 420, truck repairs, subaccount 424, equipment, mechanical repairs by $61. This is to provide funding for truck wash and car starter batteries.
So moved. Oh, second.
Second.
Dave?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes.
Okay, this is a fun one. Ross will like this one. Actually, Beth will like this one. Increase 3410, 460, miscellaneous, subaccount 461, computer by $64. Increase 3410, 460, miscellaneous, subaccount 464, stationery and supplies by $81. And decrease 460, miscellaneous, subaccount 463, conventions membership by $145. This is to provide funding for secretary laptop battery and binders for the personnel and for the trucks. I'll make that motion.
Second.
Dave?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes.
Okay. Last one on this page. Increase A3410 485A telephone and internet by $221. Decrease 3410 190 contingency by $221. This is to provide funding for the higher 2020 monthly telephone and internet fees. And I'll make that motion.
Second.
Dave?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes.
Good. So now I need a motion to pass the abstract. That's in.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Dave?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes.
And okay, so we're good there. So the chief has a few things that he was interested in. I have it somewhere. And we know that there was the ladder belts were one of the higher on the level.
And what's the price of that?
The ladder belts was three ladder belts at a price of $225 for $675. I'm just going to do these in order of the gear cabinets. We're requesting for two for, and they each cost $1,835 for a total of $3,670.
We have quotes on those, Chief.
What's that?
Do we have three quotes on those? That's state contract price?
We do. Okay. They fluctuated from time to time when we've looked at them like three or four different times, but we've been tracking three to four different vendors for pricing and also factoring in shipping because they're large items.
Okay.
This includes the shipping, Chief?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll do it. Just out of curiosity, what's the total for all the items that you wanted? You didn't happen to do that, did you?
I did on my separate sheet, but not here. I can do it real quick.
I found a calculator. Let's see here. 3,600 plus 500.
81 and change, under 8,200.
Fantastic.
8,145 exact.
Yep.
Okay.
$8,145.
Okay.
Plenty left over for air conditioning.
That's It's all we need right there. So. So, Dave, I'm sorry. How are you doing the? You're doing each one.
I wanted to see what the consensus was of the board. If we want to, because we would have to break this out by three separate line items if we were to purchase all of them, I believe. I wanted to get the board's take. They seem like valid requests, especially at the end of the year to me. The cricket machine is actually that's an interesting take for me, because that may save money in the long run.
Mm-hmm. It'll certainly save a lot of headaches, because I remember having a deal with Pendleton for years.
And the 511 parkas, getting those put into place, that's a good thing. So all of these seem like very valid requests, and we do have the funds to allocate. But I wanted to get everybody's opinion. Beth, do you have any questions about those different items?
No.
How about Suzanne? I did we lose her? I don't see her.
Let's see. Here. No, she's there.
Oh, okay.
I'm here. Yes. No, I don't have any questions either.
I would not have a problem making a motion to purchase those items for the $8,145.
I would second that.
Dave?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes.
The way that I would do that is I would increase A3410203 by $7,605.
Wait a second. I didn't hear all of that. I'm sorry.
Hear all of what?
What you just said. I got 203, increased 203, and then it sort of cut out on me.
Sorry. 7,645. Increased 204 by 500. And decrease 190 contingency by the 8,145. That's real simple, real clean. Basically, everything but the toolbox is going to personal protective equipment, Chief, since the gear cabinets are for gear.
Right, and I did the same thing to try and keep easy. It was the same thing. I did a little bit different. I put the parkers under 500 or under 204 as well, but you can go under PPE too. It's all good.
And I don't think it matters.
It really doesn't.
Okay, so I need a motion to increase 203 by $7,645, increase 204 by $500, and decrease 190 contingency by the $8,145.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Dave?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just going through here.
It's got to be ordered here.
Yep. We will be on it. And then again, thank you to the board. We appreciate it.
That works. They're very valid. I think it would be a good idea. Was there any other requests for purchases? I don't have anything else noted.
We got the wait a minute.
Do we have to do insurance yet or no? Or is that like the approval of the
regular board meeting?
So these guys get done in January?
Yeah.
Okay. We just have to remember the adjustments on them, right?
How about the Linstar? Did we vote to pay that? $240?
We did.
Yes, we did the Linstar.
We did that.
Yep.
And the SRI for $825?
That was already done.
That was already done.
Okay.
Yeah, the repair was.
Yep, the repair of the sprinklers.
Thank you.
So I think now I'll make the motion to approve the treasurer's report.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Dave?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes.
I need to report the election results.
Oh, feel free. This is new business.
Oh, and also John LaBrie would have something new as well. So once you're done, sorry. Oh, just to remember that.
I just wanted to say that we had the elections on Tuesday, December the 8th. We had 16 people show up. 15 people voted for Dave, one other, and Wendy received 13 votes and no other.
Big turnout.
Yeah, big turnout.
Thank you, Elaine.
You're welcome. Yes,
thank you.
Thank you. John, did you? What was okay.
John needs to, we need to approve the chief officer.
Yes.
He needs to present the chief officers.
Can I ask a question on this? Are we voting for each person that we got in the email that listed in all, or is it just the chief and the two assistants?
Just the chief officers. They are the only district, essentially district appointed people.
Can you give me those names?
Clem Shimakaus. Oh, sorry, John. You're actually supposed to present them.
Yes. All right. So as position of fire chief is Clem Shimakowski. The first assistant chief is Mike Bossclair. And the second assistant chief is Nick Abel, which is now being presented to the Board of Fire Commissioners for their approval with the recommendation from the company.
Okay, thank you.
All right. So,
am I?
Oh, I can hear you now.
Okay. You're sort of breaking up on me. Am I breaking up?
No, now you're nice and clear.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I think you said something, Ross. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I didn't know. So we need a vote for them, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And do they each have to, Elaine may know, do they each go individually? Is that how that works?
Yes.
No. Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Individually.
Okay. So I'll make a motion for Clem Shimakowski for fire chief for the 2021 year.
Right.
I'll second that.
Dave.
Yes.
Ross.
Yes.
Beth.
Yes.
Sue.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to nominate Mike Bossclair for the position of first assistant chief.
I'll second it.
Dave?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes.
All right, and the last one is Nick Abel, correct?
Correct.
All right, so I'll make a motion for Nick Abel to be the second assistant chief.
I'll second that.
Dave?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes.
Sue.
Yes. Didn't hear me.
I did that time.
Yeah.
Any other new business? Okay.
Oh, do we need to approve? I'll make a motion for funding of a sweatshirt for Wendy, right? The commissioner's sweatshirt?
Yeah, we don't. We just get that.
We got to get approval to spend money. So, is that right, Jeff? Can I spend any money without approval?
You can spend no money without approval.
I just went up and ordered them. He paid the bill, Ross.
I don't know. So what is it, like up to $100 to make sure that the incoming commissioner gets a sweatshirt.
A sweatshirt, absolutely.
I believe we already have a badge for her. So
okay. I can give her the information where we got that so she can go up and get the size she wants and
perfect.
And I'll talk to her and fill her in on how we get that done. Okay. Without Jeff knowing. I mean, with Jeff knowing.
No, well, now we can do it. So I made the motion to say second.
I'll second that.
There we go.
Dave?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
I wear mine all the time because it's comfortable.
I got mine on.
Yeah. Okay. So any other new business? Okay.
Everybody should have, by the way, before we go off into executive session, in their email should be a link to the new daily wellness COVID form for the board and the chief. So please check that out. It's essentially a multi-page form, but once you hit yes on anything, it tells you not to participate. And chief, you'll have to check the names. So the other thing on this, everybody, is as I was typing in, Brad probably needs to do this anytime he is coming to the firehouse to work. And all of us, like as commissioners or like Jeff, if Jeff is coming to work, essentially any of us that are coming to the station probably have to complete this.
Now, on the information you sent us, does it tell us how to get to this?
Yeah, so there is that big long link. I will probably make a link that will be an East Glenville FD/ like COVID or COVID form or something that'll
and
be easier to remember. I will. Yeah, I'll send it out. And I did put all of our names in there. So Sue.
No, you didn't.
Elaine. I put you in, didn't I?
No.
Costello? How did I miss you? Oh, you know what? It may be missing people. You know why? I took this list from the driver list, on the apparatus form. So I can hold on. Stand by you. You'll get in there momentarily.
It's hard looking at it. I think there's others missing, but
yes. Now that I think about it, it'd be anybody that's not a driver would be. Would not be in here. So, but I'll, you know, Chief, I'll add you in here as an editor too. So you can just add people.
That way we can add people as, or remove as needed.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So what I would need is, a motion to end, this general meeting and to go into executive session for personnel reasons.
And just before we vote and completely end, just a reminder, I will send, because I know the chief wanted to be in an executive session for personnel as well. So we'll start with him. So I will send another link to all of the board members and the chief to restart another Zoom meeting.
Okay.
So moved.
Do we have to turn anything off?
No, I'm going to end the meeting and then just keep an eye on your
do we
hit your email
red where it says leave? Is that what we do now once we're done?
It'll say leave. I'm going to end it for everybody. And John LaBrie, I think we approved your bill in the abstract. We approved the abstracts and everything, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So all those bills were approved.
Yes.
Okay. Very good.
Okay.
So somebody needs to second it, right?
Oh, second. I second that. Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Yes. Or did Elaine leave already?
Did Elaine leave already? I think she did. Let me see. She did. Yes. I'll say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes and yes. All right.